Chukwuanile, O all together to the depths of the sea. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for your present help. It is always present. And Lord, oh God, we call upon you now, the God who has loved us with an everlasting love. We thank you, Lord, O God, that your presence is causing us to know healing, deliverance, peace, favor, joy. We're strengthened by your goodness. And Lord, O God, this day we exalt your exalted name as we say, Father, be hallowed, be glorified, be honored in every realm. Blessed be your holy name. Our trust, O God, is in you, that you, O God, will always be there for us to help us through every experience of life. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God bless you all. It's good to see you tonight for this wonderful time in the presence of the Lord. This morning, we began sharing on the subject of trust. One of my spiritual sons from the Philippines was with us, a pilot, a young man that God is going to use to do great things. And is already using to do great things. One of the things we talked about in our discuss in the interview was the importance of trust. How it is that we need to trust, as a pilot, he needs to trust his instruments on his dash than what he sees with his natural eyes. Because without fail, the instrument will be 100% correct, while what he sees in the natural may be totally off. If you can imagine it, if you are a fighter pilot and you're flying and you're flipping all over the place and you're out there in the clouds, while you're flying through those clouds, you may think that you're flying in a proper format, heads up, but meanwhile, you're definitely flying heads down, bottoms up. And if you continue at the high speeds that these vehicles travel, and you're in a mountainous place, for example, going through those clouds, if you don't trust your instrument, while your mind is telling you that I'm flying properly, you'll crash. He used the example, never thought about it before, of flying, and he said, when you come into a landing, you can come into a situation where you have what he called a double vision, where your spatial interpretation of where your landing spot is, the strip is, your visuals in the natural tells you the places maybe 5 kilometers away. But your instrument says, no, it is further. And if you use your natural mind to approach, you are going to be shot. And you know what that means. You're going to crash. So you have to trust your instrument. You simply have to trust your instrument. A few days ago, somebody sent me something, and I was looking at certain images on my screen, and I could recognize every face on the screen. The people were upside down, but I could recognize every single one of them. They looked exactly like they should look. There was nothing wrong with the faces. And the instruction was, now turn it the other way. So I turned my screen the other way, and I saw the ugliest creatures. They were still people, but everything was wrong. These were ugly faces, mangled faces. It was the same picture. My unnatural eyes were interpreting something that was not really there. It wasn't really true. And when I saw what the real truth was, it was not like what I expected. And the point was this, that when it comes to trusting, we must trust God first and foremost before we trust what we see in the natural. How many times in my life have I been in a situation and what my feelings said, what my environment said, what I was expecting because of what I thought I knew said, you're done, you're finished, you're not going to make it. But when I looked at the Word of God, that was my instrument, when I listened to the voice of God, which was my instrument, it said something different. And now I have to choose. Am I going to choose what I feel? Or am I going to have faith in the one I believe in? If you don't make that switch, and I mean in every area of your life, not just in some areas, in every area of your life, you'll live a life of defeat. You will always struggle. You'll always be crashing. You'll always come to that place where you throw your hands up and said, ah, this doesn't work. May I say to you that the one thing that the enemy wants you to doubt is the Word of God. Because it's always going to point you to your circumstance. But before you ever existed, there is and there was God. And may I say something here? God will never lie to you. Word of God says God cannot lie. The promises of God are yes and amen. Hallelujah. God is faithful. There is no disappointment in God. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17. We read these powerful words. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And verse 17. The Word of God says, charge them, picking up from where we ended this morning, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. Because many times that's what we trust in, what we think we have. It says, Don't place your trust on uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly. Watch these words. All things to enjoy. God gives us richly all things to enjoy. It is not that God hates you being rich. It is that you don't place your faith and your trust in your riches, because there is a God who gives to us richly, richly all things. Proverbs chapter 3, which was our launching passage of scripture this morning. Chapter 3 and verse 5. Having told us about the importance of filling ourselves with the Word of God and allowing the Word of God to take a hold of our hearts, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Trust God with all of your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. Your understanding may seem to be quote unquote correct, but it is wrong. When you place it in line with the Word of God, you'll find out that it's always a mistake to trust in your feelings rather than on God. It says, in all of your ways, and that's that word again, in all of your ways, acknowledge Him, honor Him, trust Him, surrender to Him, talk to Him. He says, and God, He shall direct your path. God knows exactly every detail about your life. And He will direct you on what you need to do. The enemy will always challenge the integrity of God's word. But don't buy into that lie, especially in the day and time that we live in. It is so easy, and sometimes it makes so much sense to believe in your natural senses, to throw in the towel and think, oh, I don't think this works, but it will be a lie. The psalmist says in Psalm 20 and verse 7, it says, some are going to trust in their chariots and they are going to trust in their horses. He says, but there's something that we need to do. We must remember the name of the Lord. Don't place your trust in that. In fact, this is how serious this is. The Lord challenges His children. He says, you're placing your trust even in my temple. God must be number one. Not even the system. He holds His word above all His name. And believe me, son, daughter of the Most High God, God will not lie. He's not a liar. The devil is. In fact, the devil is the father of lies. God will never lie. The reality sometimes is this, that the enemy of your soul and my soul will want to twist the word of God. He likes quoting the word. That's right. The devil quotes the word of God, but will twist it and say, why do you even believe this? Or do this or that because you believe this. And the trick is this. When he quotes the word of God, he never completes it. In Psalm 91, the word of God talks about the angels of the Lord bearing the one who trusts in God so they don't dash their foot against a stone. The devil uses that same word. Uses the same exact word when Jesus was being tempted. He says, the angels of God, they're going to bear you up in their hands lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. When he told the Lord Jesus Christ to jump, the angels are going to take care of you. But watch, he did not quote the rest of it. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. The young lion and the dragon shall thou trample underfoot. He didn't quote that part. He just quote a partial part. You cannot trust God partially. Partial trust of God is no trust at all. You must believe God completely. You must be committed. I used to play tennis quite a bit. I've not played for a long time now. One of the first things I learned when playing ping pong or table tennis, or even what they call lawn tennis, is this: you cannot be double-minded when you're trying to hit the ball. Sure, sometimes you may get it across the net, but most times, switching midstream and becoming double-minded means that ball is going to end up in the net, or it's going to go out of bounds. You've got to follow through with the ball. When the ball comes, follow through. If the ball is coming, should I smash it or should I just tip it? It's going to end up in that net. It's going to go out of bounds. The same thing is this. The Lord says to us in the book of James, don't be double-minded. Double-minded people will not receive anything from God. Commit. Follow through. Love God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your soul, with all of your being. Because that's where your stability in life is. When you love God completely, when you love God completely, you end up trusting God completely. And so, the Word of God says that when we love, love believeth all things. It's a foundation. You cannot trust God if you don't love God. Secondly, you cannot trust God if you don't obey God. Because those who love God obey the word of God. When your obedience quotient is low, your trust quotient is low. And if you're going to grow in trusting God, you have to build up your love life with God. And building up your love life with God means that you are going to want to spend time with God. Spend time with God in your prayer time. Spend time with God in your thought life. Spend time with God in your worship and your praise. Spend time in God by putting Him as priority number one in your life. And God gives us opportunities every day to make those decisions. You may think your prayer life is not as important. Oh, yes, it is. That the time to study the Word of God is not that important. Oh, yes, it is. Every little word that you allow to drop inside of you, every thought that you have concerning God, every decision you make and you place God first, you talk to God first, not after you've made your decisions, then you start telling God. No, you tell God, you talk to God, God, this is what I like to do. How should I do it? When you seek first the kingdom of God, the purposes of the kingdom of God, then you know for a fact that God, because you've acknowledged Him, will direct your path and He will bring the necessary resources into your pathway, so that what it is you're seeking to accomplish is properly accomplished. It's just the way it is. You remember the name of the Lord. In Psalm 118, verse 8 and verse 9. Psalm 118, verse 8 to 9. He says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Now, God is going to use man. But what the Word of God is saying here is this: put your confidence, your trust in God. It is what? Better. It's not saying don't trust people. He says, it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Put your trust in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Oh, I know this person. That person is going to be able to help me. Oh, that might end up being your problem. That might become your Achilles heel. Psalm 125 and verse 1. See, verse 9 of Psalm 118 tells us again about the trust in chariots. Your chariot could be anything. It could be your education. It could be your pedigree, the family that you came from, the people that you know, your alma mater, your school that you came from. Psalm 125 and verse 1 says, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, solid, which cannot be removed. Hallelujah. But abided forever. The people that trust in the Lord, they are solid, they are rooted, they are grounded. The God you serve is the one who grounds you because you place your trust in Him. In Jeremiah chapter 17, Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5-7, we read these words. Thus said the Lord, watch this, cursed be the man that trusted in man. It says you're cursed when your faith and your trust is in man, and you make the arm of flesh your strength. Because what that does is this. It says, whose heart departed from the Lord? When your heart departs from the Lord, they say, life abhors a vacuum. Somebody's going to occupy that space. That's the truth. How many people have I met, known, that used to worship God, give everything to God, and they will quote passages like that. They will spit it out. Who walk far away from the house of God today will not even touch a Bible, will not, because their trust in God is no longer there. It didn't happen overnight. It happens when we allow offenses to come. But a man who trusts in God, whose heart has not departed from the Lord, the word of God says, for he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh. This evil man who's departed from the Lord, he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh. Want to see good in your life? Trust God. You don't want to see good? Depart from God. Place your faith and your trust in the arm of flesh. It says, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabited. A salt land is a land that's not going to produce anything. It's a salt land. That's the life of the person who's departed from God. But what happens to a man who trusts in God? He says, blessed is the man that trusted in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. Whose hope the Lord is. See, that man that trusts in the Lord, he shall be as a tree planted. Hallelujah. He shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. Careless. Because it is buttressed in the right place. All it needs is nourishing it. While everybody else is falling over and dying and fainting and falling apart, still staying green and fresh. He says, her leaf shall be green. Why? Trust in God. Her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought. That's incredible. You know what that means? It means that in the year of drought, he's not or she's not, you know, pinching corners, trying to save for a rainy day. It doesn't need no rainy day because it's getting all the water it needs. It's planted in the right place. It's roots. You see, roots try to find water. That's why, you know, you don't want to put a tree too close to your house, because those roots are going to find at the center of water, they grow, but they're also going to pull and try to locate where that water is coming from. And if you're not careful, those roots trying to find water will break through your foundation. Because trying to get water. And when you are planted by the rivers of water, it doesn't matter what's happening out there. Your roots are always locating where the water is. And your water is the source of life. And that water is the Word of God. And that water is the Lord Jesus Christ. For out of Him, and now us, because we trust in God, rivers of living water will begin to flow. You see, the amazing thing about men and women that trust in God is that they are not just blessed by the goodness of God, they become a blessing to others. God causes you to grow and become a shade of protection. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He says, they will not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. When others have stopped yielding fruit, you keep on. Hallelujah. So the Word of God says to us, it says, because this is the case, it says, understand this, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Our Lord Jesus Christ says, He says, guard your heart, for out of it proceeds the issues of life. How do you guard your heart? By pulling in the Word of God, filling yourself with the Word of God. When you're challenged, what is the first thing that comes out of your mouth? If I had a tube of toothpaste with me and I squeezed it, what comes out the other end? It is what's on the inside of it. It's what it has been filled with. The Lord says, out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth is going to speak. Your trust is founded in your relationship with the Word of God, your knowledge of who God is. It is only the persons who know their God that do exploits. And not just exploits, great exploits. People who do not know God are exploited by the enemy. And you've got to make that decision. Am I going to be a victim or a victor? Because if you trust God, I assure you, you'll be a victor. If you don't trust God, love God, pursue after His Word, you will be a victim. Guaranteed. One of the workings of the enemy is to challenge the Word of God. A king had come against the people of Judah while Hezekiah was king and threatened again and again, belittling him, belittling the people that were his supporters, telling them that what they were believing on was nothing. In 2 Kings chapter 18 and verse 30, 2 Kings 18 and verse 30, Sennacherib and all of his forces that come against Hezekiah understand that Hezekiah is a king who turned things around for Israel. Hezekiah was a king that loved God. He reinstated the Passover. During his reign, a people that were broke and defeated, suffering, when he reinstated the Passover, the time of giving, they started to pile up pyramids of the harvest. They had so much. Things had changed dramatically. But ironically, this same king became very sick. And while he was sick, the enemy came after him and after the people. Hezekiah is on his deathbed. He is beaten down, and you think, he did all the right things. Why are bad things happening to him? And here is this Assyrian king, Sennacherib, sent his generals to Israel, to Judah, and they are mounting off and talking and talking and talking, trying to demoralize the people, speaking their language, the language that they understood, and try to strike fear into their hearts. And they're saying things like in verse 30, neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord. Don't let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord. Saying the Lord will surely deliver us, and this city shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Don't believe Hezekiah. Don't believe Hezekiah. He's lying to you, telling you to trust God. Hearken not to Hezekiah, for thus saith the king of Assyria. I want you to notice that. Don't listen to Hezekiah, but thus saith. That's like God talking. Thus saith. The king of Assyria, make an agreement with me by a present. Give to me. Bring a present to me. Make an agreement, a covenant with me by a present, and come out to me, and then eat ye every man of his own vine and every one of his fig tree, and drink ye every one the waters of his cistern until I come and take you away to a land like your own land. Why do you want to take me away from a land that's like my own land? I'm already in my own land. But that's the devil. He wants to take you away from what God has given to you, to what he is promising you. Yesterday we had a wonderful, beautiful concert here, and part of the concert there was a drama presentation. And in this drama presentation or skit, a man and his wife were walking together, and the man says to the wife, you remember that song I taught you? I'd like for you to sing it again. And she began to sing, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. She kept on singing it. And then she said, losing hold of that song, because on the other end was the devil beckoning to her. She said, come. And she started walking away from the husband. No matter how much he pleaded with her to keep on singing that song, she walked away. And the devil said to tell her about the promises of God. Didn't God say this? And didn't God say that? And didn't God this? And didn't God this? And where is that? Where's that promise? God is lying to you. I'm telling you the truth. I have everything for you. You know, didn't you desire to have children and you're barren? And God says, you know, there'll be no barren amidst, and you're barren. And your brother and your father and your mother sick, dead, and this, and so on and so forth. Just bombarding her spirit and promising her, see this bag here? I got everything you need. All you need to do is let go of God, and I'll give you this. And it was being nice, speaking nicely. And when she bowed her knees, his countenance changed. He says, now you're my slave. And that's what's happened to so many people. They become slaves of the devil because they've not placed their trust in God. And before she knew it, she was bound with chains and was being dragged by the devil and his demonic cohort until, hallelujah, the husband took hold of the word of God and began to proclaim the word of God, and the forces of darkness fell, and he came and saw her released from her bondage. The reality is, when she asked for all those promises that the devil promised her that were in this nice package, when it was opened, it was empty. The devil's promises are empty promises. Listen, there is no losing in God. There is no losing in God. Job knew this to be true. For the word of God says to us in the book of Job, Job says, even though he slays me, yet will I trust him. Job, the 13th chapter and the 15th verse. Doesn't matter. I'm going to trust God. Where are you in your relationship with God today? Are you allowing offenses in your heart? Are you allowing things that seem to be disappointments to chip away at your heartbeat towards God? Nobody gets deceived all of a sudden. People get deceived one bite at a time. Job says, though he slay me, if God even disappoints me till the end, doesn't even do all the things I think he should do for me, yet will I trust him. He says, Watch this. But I will maintain mine own ways before him. Even though he slays me, I'm going to continue maintaining my belief in him. Call me a fool. I'm going to stick with this program. And the end of the story is that Job got everything back. Everything he lost, all of it was restored. You've heard me say it before, and I say it again today. There is a spiritual principle that every seed must produce after its kind. So an orange seed will produce oranges. And the investment of God, the seed that God invested in us, is called the agape love of God. That means love in spite of. You don't deserve it, but I love you anyway. And because that's the seed God invested in you and I, you've heard me say this before, there will always come a time in your life as a believer when it's going to look like God disappointed you. And you are going to be asked this simple question: do you still love me anyway? Because God loved you anyway, even though you were a disappointment in living in sin. God is going to say, do you love me anyway now that I disappointed you? Because that's the seed that was sown. That's why Job couldn't say, even though he slays me, I'm going to still trust him. That's not going to change my mind. The three Hebrew boys said, we're not careful to answer you about this matter, King Nebuchadnezzar. If God saves us from these fiery flames, from this fiery furnace, great. But if he doesn't, we're still not going to serve your God. We're not going to bow down to your idol. That is a kind of faith that you and I must have in these last days. Because there are going to be some in our midst in the days to come that are going to face the diabolical actions of the enemy. They will seek your life in exchange for you to live a fake life. Take the mark of the beast so you can eat and drink. Don't take it. You don't get to buy or sell. You don't get to eat or drink. And you're going to have to make the decision. Am I going to give my life to live temporarily? Or am I going to choose God and live eternally? These are not going to be questions that are not going to be realized in the days to come, but questions that you and I are going to go through. We've begun to see the beginnings of it. There are people who are going to have to make decision on whether they're going to follow through with God or not, trust God or not. But let me say this to you. The enemy is going to always accuse the word of God. I know I'm taking much of your time, but bear with me. The subject is too important. 2 Kings 19. and verse 10. 2 Kings 19 and 10. Thus shall ye speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, let not thy God in whom thou trusted deceive thee. This is the threatenings of the enemy. Don't let your God. First of all, he says to the people, don't let Hezekiah deceive you. Now he says to Hezekiah, Hezekiah, don't let God deceive you. Let not thy God in whom thou trusted deceive thee, saying, Jerusalem shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. I'm going to get this place. Don't get deceived. And he gives a trademark or a history. He says, behold, thou hast heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all lands by destroying them utterly. And shalt thou be delivered? You think you're different? That's when you say, yes, I'm different. They place their trust in chariots and in horses, but I remember the name of the Lord. Verse 12, had the God of the nations delivered them, which my fathers have destroyed, as Gozan and Haran and Rezeph and the children of Eden, which were in Telassa. I took care of all of those. Where's the king of Hamath? And the king of Arphad? And the king of the city of Shephathaim? Of Hena and Eva? Says the word of God says, and Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord. He took all of those accusations before the house of the Lord and he spread it before the Lord. They think like you are other gods. They think that you can't do anything about this. He cried out, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God. Even thou alone of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and see and hear the words of Sennacherib, which had sent him to reproach the living God. Hear this. Watch it. And hear the words of Sennacherib, which had sent him. The words of Sennacherib sent him to reproach the living God. Oh, there we see it. Jesus is the Word of God. Is he not? The devil is trying to imitate God and is taking the position of words that influence Sennacherib to reproach the living God. You see, behind every negativity, behind every evil word is the devil trying to challenge the living God. It's not your thought. No, it's the words of the devil trying to accuse God. It says of a truth, it's true. We're not denying the fact. The kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands and have cast their gods into the fire. for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they have destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. Hallelujah. That is a position we take. We do not deny the fact that there are issues, but we deny them the power of influence over our lives. We bow not our knees unto other gods. We will worship the only true God forever. Amen? The promise of God, Psalm 25 and verse 2. So I begin to wrap this up. Psalm 25 and verse 2. Psalm 25 and verse 2. My God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Verse 20 of Psalm 25. Oh, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Psalm 26 and verse 1 tells us that we're not going to slide. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in my own integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. See, God has promised us his goodness. In Psalm 34 and verse 8, those who trust God get to experience the goodness of God. Psalm 34 and verse 8. Psalm 34:3-4. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusted in him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Psalm 31 and verse 19 recaps the same fact. Psalm 31 and verse 19. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them. There is goodness laid up for believers. Hallelujah. Those that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Our trust must be vocalized. You know that you trust God when you can vocalize what you're believing God for. When you become shy and hidden, withdrawn from declaring boldly, you know that your trust quotient is low. The Lord said, I will confess you before my Father. I will confess you before the angels. I will confess you before men. When you confess me before men, There are too many secret disciples. It must be obvious that you are one of those Christians. It seems like the word Christian is a bad word. But this is a time for you and I to stand for what we believe in. And as you stand, you'll find full security in the blessings that only God can bestow so richly upon your life and upon mine. Hallelujah. Don't lose me here. Let me just read you one more passage of Scripture. Psalm 52, verse 7. Psalm 52 and verse 7. The fact is, in life, we do see many people that don't trust in God. And they seem to be like the talk of town. They have all this strength. And they can manipulate this, they know this, and they know that, and they can do all kinds of stuff. And they're well known. And the temptation is to look at that and use that as the true knot. But it isn't so. Your true knot is in God. Your true knot is in His Word. Your true knot is in allowing God to be God in your life. And in this psalm, he says, "Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength." I can see him. He didn't make God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness. I can see him. But then it says, "But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever." And what is the point? The point is, I may not be as flamboyant as that guy who is doing all his wickedness, but little me, I might not be the richest, but I'm just this little green olive tree. Nobody knows me, but I bring a fragrance into the house of God. I am that little one. I don't have all the money. I don't have all the material wealth. I don't have all of this, but I am oil. The olive tree and its oil was used to anoint great people. I may not be much, but at least my life is impacting a life. And I trust in your mercy, O God, that you are able to elevate me from this lowly estate and make my life count. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? It's a question you and I need to ask ourselves. What is the profit if I gain everything and I lose my soul? bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, I pray tonight that these words are settled in the core of our person, that our trust is unshakable, our commitment undeniable, our resolve to worship you in spirit and in truth, resolute. Father, our trust is in you. Raise every son and every daughter, everyone listening to my voice right now, to that undeniable reality. Blessed be your holy name. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. I thank God for every one of you listening in person and those listening online. May this word of the Lord take root in our hearts and may it prosper. And may we be a people totally sold out to God and His divine purposes, a testimony and a testament of the goodness of the Lord all of our days. May we never shy away, but rather be driven by the oil of heaven to accomplish God's divine purpose and prove at all times that God alone is true and all men, all forces, every other thing a liar. But He, our God, is forever true. Amen? Praise God. At this time, let us honor the Lord with our offerings, with our tithe, offerings, first fruits, whatever it is that God has given to us. Be reminded that today is Missions Sunday. It's a time that we encourage the saints to give something extra for missions so that we can take the word of the Lord to the nations in faith and to see lives forever transformed. Amen? Praise God. God bless you. The next Friday is Canada Day. It's a holiday here. And it's supposed to be a leaders only meeting. But I would like to make that a little bit different this time. I'd like to encourage us to come together to pray for our country. And what I'm really saying that is that we're going to open this Friday to all of the church, not just the leaders. We need to pray for our country. We need to pray for the leaders of this country. We need to intercede for our country. Because if we don't, we should not complain about the results that face us in the days to come. Our country is going through a lot of things, and it's so easy to say, well, it's not impacting me, it's those people over there. It's those people over there. Last year, we saw pastors and churches being shut down because of policies that were put in place. Believe me when I say that those things happened just to check the waters to see what they can get away with. What can we do? When will people start fighting back? When will people start saying no to this and that cannot happen? This is Canada. And they've covered a lot of ground. And they say to you, it's coming. If we don't begin to push back the forces of darkness, I was saying to somebody today, by 2030, if we don't do something, you may not have the wonderful privilege of being in church like this. We need to start praying. I know it's a holiday. We should go look for the fireworks and whatever else and just relax and watch. But the Word of God says, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves, seek my face, and pray, he said, I'm going to heal their land. I want to encourage us to come. Come in person if you can. Let's lay before God. Whether it's for 20 minutes or 30 minutes or an hour or two or whatever, and just cry out to God. God, save our land. It's right there in our anthem. God, keep our land. Is that not so? Let's come pray. This is our land. But it's been taken over by a minority of voices. Wokeism is not only happening down in the States, it's happening here too. There are things that I've preached about in the last little while that they will throw me in jail for. I could care less about any of that. I care about people's lives and the truth of God. But let's come, let's pray. Let's seek the face of God together. So this Friday is not just going to be just for leaders. It's going to be for every one of us to come pray. Amen? God bless you. And by the way, that means, is this next Wednesday, first Wednesday of the month too? Oh no. So we have one more Bible study. One more Bible study, and then it will be no Bible studies during the summer months of July and August. We'll come back with Bible studies in September. Okay? All right. Well, prayer meetings continue. Be blessed and be highly favored of the Lord. We love you. We appreciate you. We celebrate you. And we know that God's goodness will forever flow into your lives and that you will not slide. Good night. Love you.